more compensation. For example,
we pay our parking lot attendants more than we pay daycare workers. So you have a job to sit and watch cars that is more highly paid than a job to watch children.
Maggie Kurth-Baker with our partners at 538 says even though there are more women in more lucrative fields these days, there are a lot more still at the bottom, making it even tougher to close the gap. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
More trouble for Wells Fargo. Reuters says the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau considering up to $1 billion in fines for abuses in both car and home loans. And the national debt on the rise, the Congressional Budget Office projecting $33 trillion in the next 10 years. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Fox Sports trending now.
I'll lead things off in Major League Baseball. A couple games going on right now in Chicago. Pirates on top of the Cubbies 8-3. Starling Marte's got a home run. Francisco Cervelli, one of his own. He's 3-for-4 in the ballgame with 3 base knocks. Meanwhile, the White Sox have lost 4 straight, and they trail the Rays right now in the top of the 8th inning, 5-1 in that affair. Meanwhile, in college athletics, some breaking news today. The Seattle Times is reporting the University of Washington's athletic department has agreed on a 10-year deal with Adidas worth just about $12 million annually. The total deal is $119 million, leaving longtime partner Nike after 20 years. In the NFL, Buffalo Bills left guard Richie Incognito has decided to retire after 13 seasons in the league. Kansas City Chiefs have signed tight end Tim Wright. I'm David Gascon.
We are Fox Sports.
When severe weather cuts across Lorain and Medina counties, depend on the radio station on the edge of the storm. Your official weather station, locally owned and locally responsive. AM 930 WEOL.
Hello, weather on AM 930, bullseye style. Tonight, cloudy. Low near 33. The risk of a passing shower Wednesday. High near 53.
Slightly cloudy in 39.
It's Bulls Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes after 5 o'clock, final hour of Bullseye on the Afternoon is officially underway. Andy Bullbarch, Matt Douglas with you. Actually a little short today, taking you up until 5:37. Then it's time for Indians baseball. Tribe taking on the Detroit Tigers down at Progressive Field. First pitch just after 6 o'clock. And our next guest is a very, very busy man these days. He's seen some of the Indians that you see at Progressive Field at the AAA level with the Columbus Clippers. He's actually right now on the road with the Columbus Clippers. But he's a voice that you hear when you tune in to hear the pregame, the intermission, and postgame on the Columbus Blue Jackets radio network. Ryan Mitchell is joining us right now. Ryan, as always, my friend, a pleasure to have you on. How are you?
Oh, always great to be with you guys. And it's a busy time of year, but it's an awful lot of fun, too.
Yes, no question about that. And boy, speaking of fun, we're going to get in to the series preview between the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Washington Capitals. We'll dive into that in just a minute. But speaking of fun, I want to get in to the incredible run for the Jackets that began back on March 10th. It was a 10-game winning streak. They won 12 of their final 14 games in that month. And who exactly was it, or what was it really that stood out to you during that incredible run?
Well, I think it was a new mix in the dressing room. The Jackets made 3 acquisitions at the trading deadline. None of them were big splash moves at the time, but everybody that they brought in just really seemed to fit a role. Ian Cole has been paired up with David Savard, coincidentally, they have matching beards, but they have matched up really well on the blue line. It's been a really good pair. They've done a really nice job, and they provide a good complement to the top pair of Jones and Morenski, who are very offensive-minded defensemen. I guess I say that Seth Jones is not just an offensive-minded guy. He does have the Jackets record for goals by a blue liner now, but he does such a great job on defense. He is a tremendous athlete. Everything involving Seth Jones is superlative. And so you've got that group on the blue line. Mark Letestu coming back into the Jackets dressing room really provided a lot of calm and a veteran presence. And Thomas Vanek, despite the fact that he was bounced around and some were wondering how he and Torts were going to get along because he doesn't have a reputation as being a guy that is very responsible on defense, he has been a great fit. And that line with he and Boone Jenner on the wings being centered by Alexander Wenberg, it has just worked. They are scoring and they're taking pressure off the top line. So I think the trading deadline really was the beginning of this tremendous run.
They've been on one heck of a run, as Bull just alludes to there. That was how they end the season. Now what's ahead for them is the Washington Capitals as the playoffs get started on Thursday. What are people saying about this series? I mean, obviously the big news today that the Capitals are going to go with Philip Grubauer instead of Braden Holtby, who when you take a look at goaltenders in the postseason, he's usually that guy they turn to. But he's had a down part of the season. What are we looking at in this series here?
I think if you're the Washington Capitals, there's a lot of pressure on this team. There's not the pressure of the President's Trophy that went to Nashville this year, but still this team has just failed in the playoffs year after year after year, and there's just an awful lot of pressure on them, and they want to have the best goaltender matchup. Now, again, Braden Holtby, only 28 years of age. He made 54 starts during the regular season. Grubauer made 28. Grubauer's save percentage has been better. His goals against has been better. And they just think that he matches up better against the Blue Jackets. So if you're the Washington Capitals, you just, I'm sure, are feeling the pressure, thinking we cannot fail again this time. We have to make sure that we have every decision, because once the puck drops, teams are just playing hockey. But they have to have every decision that they can control made correctly to put themselves in the best position to win. I don't think the Jackets have that same kind of pressure on them right now.
In regular season, it was the Washington Capitals who took a majority of the games, 3-1 over the Columbus Blue Jackets. What's changed? I mean, I guess you alluded to it with that trade deadline. Is it those players? Is it the Thomas Vanek? I mean, Panarin's playing the best hockey he can play now. Is that sort of what's got this team on the lift here as they reach the postseason against the tough Capitals opponent?
Well, and again, I think that certainly has a lot to do with it. The trade deadline day, they played the Washington Capitals after those guys joined the team and got into the dressing room, and that was the only game they beat the Caps all year long. So are they invulnerable to the Washington Capitals right now? No, but obviously this new cast of characters has helped the Blue Jackets solidify things in a lot of ways. Remember back to the beginning of the season, they just weren't playing the same kind of hockey that they played last year. There were a lot of players, veteran players, who had track records of success that were not performing up to their historic standards. Brandon Dubinsky has had the worst regular season of his professional career. I think that's pretty safe to say. You were seeing Nick Foligno not score a lot of goals early in the season. The captain, Cam Atkinson, went the first half of the season, I think, with only 6 goals. And he has really turned it on as of late. He and Panarin have really turned into a nice set of wingers. Pierre-Luc Dubois has been in between them most of the time, though he has floated back and forth a little bit. So I think everybody just got more comfortable in their role, and guys started to perform. And really, when you're talking about professional athletes, it just comes down to that. Perform the way you're expected to, and good things can happen. And I think that's what's gone on for the Blue Jackets since about late February.
All right, and you talked about the pressure for the two teams. Jackets yet to win a Stanley Cup playoff series. If they're to win this one, what has to be the difference?
Well, that's easy. Sergei Bobrovsky. He has not been good in the playoffs, his first couple opportunities for the Blue Jackets. If he plays during the postseason the way he has played during the regular season, even a down season by his standards, he's still one of the best goaltenders, if not the best goaltender on the planet, but he looked human in a few games this year. But if he plays to that standard in the postseason, the Jackets have a really good shot to win it. John Tortorella said, your best player has to be your goaltender, and Sergei Bobrovsky, for my money, is, if not the, one of the top 3 goaltenders on planet Earth. So I think that has to be the difference. If everybody else plays the way they have been playing for the last couple of months and Bobrovsky plays the way that he has during the regular season in his career, you like the Jackets' chances The folks that lay the odds on these type of things have the Jackets as the favorite in this series, despite the fact that Washington won the Metro and beat the Jackets head-to-head, as you said earlier, 3 games out of 4 this year. But there is just a good mix for Columbus right now. They're playing really good hockey. But that can be said of just about everybody in the Metro. It was a tremendous playoff race. Remember, folks, that 10-game winning streak the Jackets had, if they lose any one of those games in regulation, they don't make the playoffs.
We're talking with Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You alluded to some of these points already, but I want to give you a chance to kind of expand on it just a bit. You know, last year going into the postseason, they were paired up against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and it just kind of felt like maybe there wasn't as much optimism going into that series as there is in this series going up against the Caps. Is that fair to say?
I think that might be fair to say, but let's talk about recency bias, because the Jackets are playing tremendous hockey heading into the playoffs this year, and last year they were playing their worst hockey of the year heading into the playoffs. They had that 16-game winning streak that had everybody feeling good, but it came in December. When the time the playoffs came around, the Jackets had really stumbled toward the finish line. They clinched a playoff spot early, and they just weren't playing good hockey as the regular season turned to the postseason. That has been flipped on its head this year. In December and in January and in early February, the Jackets look like a team that might not make the playoffs. In fact, they were on the outside looking in when that 10-game winning streak began. And then once they hit that stride, everything kind of turned around, and the Jackets are heading into the postseason probably on their highest note of the season.
And I think it's interesting, too, because, you know, just kind of trying to put your finger on the pulse of what's going on with the Jackets right now, it just feels like there's a heck of a lot more confidence going into this series than there was, again, a year ago going into that series against the Penguins. And, you know, I think it's just, it's crazy what a difference a year makes. And you talked about some of the difference makers on this roster and why maybe things at least seem on the surface to look a little bit better going into this series against the Caps. Do you get that feeling that people are a heck of a lot more confident going into this series?
Well, I think they were confident going into the series last year, and then they just kind of got punched in the nose a little bit by a really good Pittsburgh team who took advantage of their opportunities. Let's think back to that series against Pittsburgh a little bit. The Jackets had a million scoring opportunities in those first two games. Matt Murray got hurt in pregame warmups before game one, had to go on health, and Marc-Andre Fleury went in net. And the Jackets had a ton of opportunities, but Fleury was all over its opportunities. And each and every time it seemed like they had a scoring opportunity, they put it in the net, and that demoralized the Blue Jackets pretty quickly. But I will say this, they are a confident group heading into this series against Washington. There's no doubt about that. And a lot of it, I think, comes down to the play of Artemi Panarin. You know, the trade for Brandon Saad with Chicago netted the Jackets Panarin, and there was some concern early in the season because he wasn't really meshing with the rest of the players on the Blue Jackets roster, but I think that is one of the things that has changed as well. He and Cam Atkinson have really found a groove just by the strength of his will. Artemi Panarin, I think, has elevated this team. He set a franchise record with 82 points and another franchise record with 55 assists. He is tremendously hard on the puck. He is not a big guy, but his hands are so skilled and he is so dogged on the puck. He can keep it in traffic when there are, you know, two defenders around him. And when those guys are closing in, what that enables him to do with his tremendous vision is find the open man. He has been so good distributing the puck for the Jackets that he has just elevated everybody else around him. So the way Panarin has played, I think, gives this team a lot of confidence. And, again, I alluded to it earlier, that second line with Vanek and Wennberg in the middle and Boone Jenner, they've been able to not pick up the slack but score in such a way that it takes some pressure off of that top line. And it also allows John Tortorella to use all four lines in a way that he wasn't able to earlier in the season when they had some struggles.
Ryan, as we get ready for this series coming up, obviously a lot of eyes will be on Alexander Ovechkin, rightfully so, 49 goals in the regular season. He led everyone. Who's going to be tasked? I know in the past it's been Brandon Dubinsky kind of tasked with matching up with Crosby. Do we think it's going to be some of that again this year, or who are some of those guys who might get that task?
Well, something funny to see the other day was Pierre-Luc Dubois matched up. He took on Connor McDavid, and he took on Sidney Crosby, yeah. And he answered the bell and passed the test. he was really tremendous against those guys. So don't be surprised to see Dubois maybe get the call there to check up on Ovechkin a little bit. This young guy, 19 years of age, in his rookie campaign set a Blue Jackets rookie scoring record. But the most impressive thing, I think, is the responsibility he has taken on and the way he has just really taken everything the Jackets have given him and done a great job with it. At 19 years of age, I don't know what you guys were doing, but I certainly wouldn't have been able to take on that kind of responsibility. He has been very, very strong for the Jackets. And the fact that he was able to take over that number one center position really, I think, might have saved the season for Columbus. Because remember, Alexander Wenberg started the season and he just wasn't producing. And Brandon Dubinsky wasn't producing. Nick Foligno was moved into center. Boone Jenner was moved into center for a little while. They didn't have anybody to step up at that number one center position until it was Pierre-Luc Dubois. So when he was able to do that, everybody else was able to slot down in the lineup a little bit, and guys just filled their role. So that was a huge, huge part of the season, Dubois kind of emerging as that number one center.
At 19 years of age, I was the co-host of the Sports Outsiders with Ryan Mitchell on a campus radio station.
You were doing at 19.
Yep. That's what I was doing at 19 years old. I was waking up at 8:30 on Sunday mornings so that I could get to the studios and I could saddle up alongside Ryan Mitchell. That's a true story. Every Sunday, you and I hosted a two-hour show. It was great stuff.
Barch, let me tell you something right now. You're not going to believe me. I am currently wearing a long-sleeve T-shirt in the chill of Louisville that says WFAL 1610. Those are the studios. In which they don't even exist anymore on the campus of Bowling Green State University. But that is the exact studio that you and I sat many a Sunday morning as the Sports Outsiders. And, I put on the T-shirt today. Totally didn't even think about it having to do with this. But I wear the T-shirt very infrequently, but it's on today.
Very good stuff, my friend. Well, we appreciate the time as always, and we look forward to doing this again soon.
All right, man. Good talking to you guys as always.
Thanks, Ryan, again. Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network, sporting the WFAL long-sleeve T-shirt. That's legendary. Legendary.
That's something. He actually admitted to having been on that show with you there, too. That's a win for you.
Well, at some point, you're going to have to admit to being on this
sure,
show with
that's
me,
true.
Too. So you guys are kind
can
of
only hide
same
for
boat.
So long, right?
Yes, only for so long. All right, well, that's going to take us to the finish line in this edition of Bullseye on the Afternoon because we've got to get to Matt Douglas in the local news. He's got one more news break to give you before we give you a Clark Howard Minute, and then we pass you on to Jim Rosenhaus and the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. So